one and all.
To Nerds on the Rocks, episode 171. This week I am joined by Sam.
I already did my thing.
And I am joined by Dan.
Hi.
And at some point we're going to have to find people with more than one name, well, one syllable in their name. I mean, this is why we keep Justin around, but he's on a date apparently or something. I don't know.
What? Justin on a date.
But, yes.
That's later on a scale of 1 to 10 without knowing anything about her.
24.
Ooh, that's
six. That's my guess. And we're going to ask him on that next week. Come back here.
That will be awkward. But,
well,
yeah,
it's how the date goes. If it goes poorly, he might be more honest. Sorry.
Then he probably don't want to talk about it.
I hope he listens to the show.
But yes, this week we figured since it is that time of the year, we're going to talk about TV shows ending and I guess kind of beginning. It's the middle of May, I believe, as of this recording, it's May 15th.
Yeah.
It's exactly May 15th, so it's halfway through May, which means almost all of network TV shows are wrapping up or have wrapped up already. This week saw the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow. If you're a fan, I think Supernatural ends next week.
No, it's Supernatural, I think, ended this week.
Okay, Vampire Diaries. We've had shows, you know.
Oh, Once Upon a Time, don't forget that. Thank you very much.
Oh. Once Upon a Time. Upon a Time ended. We have also seen a bunch of comedies, How I Met Your Mother, but that was ended. Community, Parks and Rec, Community for the last time, apparently.
Community kind of ended a while ago, though.
A lot of shows ended early this year. A lot of them ended in April. Like, How I Met Your Mother, the series finale was in March, which is just strange for so many reasons. And then, like, a lot of comedies ended in April. The only comedy that I still kind of watch that's still going on is Modern Family, which ends next week.
Yeah. Okay. Bob's Burgers, too.
Yes. But other than that, I mean, so it means that it's that time of the year where we get to reflect on what we've watched and also kind of talk about the shows that kind of fill in the gap, which has been one of the biggest thing about the emergence of cable TV, I think, is that we have shows, because they don't adhere to the typical fall, spring seasons that a lot of TV shows subscribe to, we get a lot of shows to fill in the blanks during the summer months, like Game of Thrones is always a big one that usually runs from April to June.
I like The Newsroom. I know a lot of people don't. And I kind of hate how extremely liberal it is, which is going to sound weird, like, oh, I hate that it's liberal. No, I don't mind liberal things. I hate how extremely, like, arrogantly liberal that is, which is everything Aaron Sorkin touches, but that's a different conversation. But anyway,
I'm
going to
tell you
show.
Everything I know about The Newsroom right now. It's got the dude from Slumdog Millionaire in it and the dude from Dumb and Dumber in it, and I saw a promo for it when I was in Canada.
Yeah, and the opening minute of it's probably the best part of the show, which is both cool and a little depressing.
And that this is its final season.
You know, it appropriately, I think. I'm okay. It's one of those shows that I like, but I'm okay with it ending. Like, it sort of told all it needed to.
Yeah.
I can't say much. So, Breaking Bad, a summer show. Y'all were talking about how all summer shows are terrible, but...
Well, no, I don't think all summer shows are terrible. Game of Thrones is fantastic.
Okay, Breaking Bad wasn't really a summer show either. It started in, August, so,
It depended.
It, like, kicked off the season, essentially.
Sure, but it only had, like, six episodes to it, so starting in August and having six episodes can be,
That was just the last two seasons.
Yeah, the last two seasons, 2/6 of the TV show.
What?
And only six seasons of Breaking Bad, right?
But it's only five. They should have season five.
Technically, yeah. Season one was episodes. Seasons two and three were 13, and then seasons four or two, three, and four were 13, and then five and 5/2 were 8 episodes.
They sold them as separate DVDs. It's 5 and 6.
Yeah, that's. I mean, a lot of people do that now to kind of one. It prolongs the schedule when you already have so few episodes, and ratings. You know, people get time to catch up on them by the DVD, watch them on Netflix or whatever. Because the ratings for like Breaking Bad, where it started, I think it started like 1 million, 2 million, and by the time it ended, it got 10 million people for the finale, which is just a huge improvement.
Yeah. And you knew that because they showed commercials every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
like it was the Super Bowl.
That's what you do when you get behind the show.
Yeah, so you know people actually watch them. So apparently, Wilfred. Anybody watch Wilfred? I watched like three episodes of it and liked it and haven't gone back.
I kind of watch it. It's one of those shows I watch. I was hanging out with friends. Like, we were kind of hungover, and somebody had it on Netflix.
I think that's the best time to watch Wilfred.
Yeah, and that's kind of, it was like, it was really weird.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable, and then it was like, oh, this isn't, but you do, it's kind of one of those shows that if it's out of your sight, you just kind of forget about it.
Yeah. What other shows do y'all have like that, speaking of? We can kind of trail a little bit.
Just a show that, like, I idly watch, you mean, or like?
Yeah, a show that you like, but you don't actively go out and watch a new episode of each week.
I think for me, Bob's Burgers is kind of like that. I watch it every week, I usually will watch it when I'm doing... Granted, I do something while I'm watching most of my shows, but I pay the least attention to actually watching Bob's Burgers. I will watch it when I'm doing something.
See, I mean more like a show... Something. For me, for that to count, you can't catch it every week. You have to like go 3 weeks and say, oh, I haven't watched the show in a while, I'll catch up on it.
It was shows that are big with this for me are procedurals. Especially, yeah. I'll get into like, procedurals are great to watch over the summer because they're kind of empty TV.
Yeah.
And then I'll get hooked to one, and then I really don't care what happened. Like I marathoned the first four seasons of House once, and then I kind of watched season five on and off, and I didn't watch the rest of the show. I did the same thing with Psych, and then I would catch up over the summer. Right now it's Bones. Like I will literally just kind of watch the season premiere and the season finale of Bones.
That's what I did to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., actually. I watched the first two episodes and then the season finale, and I feel like I saw everything I needed to of that show.
Yeah, and that's the problem with a lot of these procedurals, is like you watch them, and it's like, oh, say you started this arc at the beginning, then they usually have this recap that shows you everything important that happened the entire season.
Yeah.
And you watch the episode, it's like, oh, I'm caught up, I know what happens. Like, you might miss some minute stuff, some twists and turns, but you get the gist of it, and that's all that's important, which is why I think, right. You know, procedurals. Like I said, procedurals to me are kind of like empty TV. They're kind of stuff I use when I want to fill in the void. Like, it's not like 24. I can't miss a week of 24. Man, right. I'm going to catch it next week.
I'm so happy 24 is back, and that last episode was great.
They're shooting at us! They're shooting
Jack
at Bauer us!
Jack Bauer just shot a fucking innocent dude through the kneecap. Oh,
two
24 is back. Two of them, yeah.
It's funny because I was going to make a joke. Yeah, that episode was good. The part where he shot the guy, because I don't watch 24.
That's absolutely what happened and why it was good. So you nailed it without watching 24.
That's usually
right.
Next
that,
week,
Iron
say
Man.
It was good because Jack Bauer tortured a guy, and you'll probably be right.
Yeah, remember that thing that Jack Bauer did where he was
use
awesome?
The word
oh, man.
Yes, that is usually what happens to 24. Jack Bauer is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I would be much appreciated if 24 becomes a summer show. Right now, I mean, right now they haven't really done much with the format, but I'm also kind of curious to see what the 12 episodes does for the show. I mean, right now it's been real time, as in
that. It is still weird that the show is called 24, but I mean, they're not going to change that. It's just kind of.
Well, it's still supposed to be 24 hours. That's why I'm kind of curious to see what they do that. Right now, it's been pretty progressive. It's been like, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you're right, because I was thinking, they just skip hours, but you're right in that every single character has to have nothing going on for that hour for that to work. Huh.
Yeah, I assume something's going to happen and everybody's going to be missing for 2 hours.
Jack Bauer got knocked out.
How do time skips work in 24? I'm just thinking because, I don't know, when shows have time skips, they're, like, pretty significant. But, like, 24 having a time skip, it's like, the next
day. There
aren't
time skips, and then there are times where they're kind of clearly fudging events with when they happen. So it's walking to a meeting, and the meeting walking to it took, like, 1 minute or something. There's definitely playing with the timeline, but everything generally kind of happens within this time frame, and you can see it working like that.
The best and worst thing about that is usually whenever they have to show people having sex on this show, because usually that's like a commercial break.
Yeah, I thought it was great the way they did it this episode, though. Last episode, they started having sex, and then, like, 3 minutes later, or, like, 2 minutes later, you look over, and the guy's just passed out.
That's what I'm like, instead of, like, you know, like, okay, it's finished, and like, it's like, it's finished, and he's done. He's out for this work.
I wish they would joke about that. I wish they'd cut back, and the girl would be pissed off in the corner or something.
It's the same thing that happened with, I think, Logan in an episode of season 5, where like, he starts and they go to commercial and he's dressing up already. I'm like, wow, that was quick.
Yeah. Just little things like that, or that characters never eat or go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's fun to have self-awareness like that, though.
Or the fact that everybody seems to, there's no traffic whatsoever. They get across LA, Manhattan, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
and London in like 10 minutes flat, no matter where you're going.
Yeah. Good show, though. Like, it was probably the first big show that I got into in my life. I was watching 24 every week.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those for me, too. Like, I mean, there were shows I watched, but it was, like, one of the first major TV dramas that I got invested into.
In fact, I probably would have judged it more critically had I watched it, like, started it at this point in my life. I think it had a lot to do with it being one of the earlier dramas that I get into, that I hold it as, like, my standard for how interested I am in a TV show.
And I also think because, I mean, I think it's one of those, it's a great concept because the idea of a ticking clock is just so inherent. We understand what that means.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when... So it's like if the entire show is congregated around that one idea that everything's going to happen because there's always a ticking clock, like a literal ticking clock usually.
Right, and if somebody says something's going to happen in 15 minutes, you know that the show's not going to leave it on a cliffhanger where that doesn't happen. You know that event is going to happen within this episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's always really convenient, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's always
going to happen in exactly 14 minutes.
Oh man, it's the top of the hour. I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's another great summer show, which will take us, I believe, through June, maybe July. It's 12 episodes, but I don't know if there'll be enough on them.
Yeah.
I guess going back to other shows, what were some of the shows that you were sad to see kind of end?
Community.
I couldn't hear you. What did you say? Did you say...
Community?
Yeah.
I'm really sad about Community.
You see, I said this on Twitter, and it's the same way. No.
Prepare for the tweets.
No. It's the same thing I said about Chuck when it ended, is that, well, I'm not really sad that it ended as much as it sucks. I'm happy that we got as many as we did.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that, and I was like, but I want more.
I get that, but five seasons is a lot more credit than anybody gave that show credit for Aston.
Yeah.
I know, but it's funny. It's like it's a lot less credit than the critics gave it, because critics always raved about Community, but no viewers actually watched
critics
it.
Critics don't matter to television.
I know. That's what's like dumb about Community, is that it's a great show and critically acclaimed, but nobody watches it. Allegedly.
The only show that critics like now that matters is Hannibal. And the only reason that's on the air is because they sold it off to, like, foreign TV networks. So it's showing in other countries and is paying for itself. And thank God, because Hannibal is amazing this season. And everybody who hasn't watched it needs to go watch it.
I haven't.
Go to Hannibal after, all right? It can eat itself or something. What is that?
24. Community is so obvious, though. That's the one. So, anyway, for me, Community, it was like I'm... It's the obvious thing to talk about, I think.
Well, I was also going to say that, I mean, as far as critical reception goes, I don't think that's something that's uniquely related to television shows. I think that, I mean, there's a reason that Transformers movies continue to do well at the box office, even though everybody complains about them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why you have critically acclaimed movies that bomb, or critically acclaimed video games that don't sell.
I think it's
It's definitely a direct, like, correlation to viewership and, like, however much money it garners, which is why, like, Die Hard has been, like, done to death, even though the first one most people will argue is the best.
Yeah.
Nobody in this podcast will, because nobody in this podcast has seen it. Oh.
Hey, I've seen them all. I've seen them all, sadly enough.
I gave, like, a silent fist bump to you, Earl, and, like, the listeners didn't
I've seen most of them now.
Yeah.
I had to watch those for this show. Earl sent me it for Christmas. What I was going to say about Community is it was one of those shows that I, like, mourned the passing of before it ended. So every time it ended, I just went into the, I guess, off-season is what they call it, expecting the show to be canceled. And this time it was. I'm like, well, okay, that happened.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying about not feeling upset about it, because, honestly speaking, 5 years is a lot more credit than anybody else would have given it credit for. And, I mean, you know, as much as it sucks, like you said, nobody watched it. And, I mean, you know, people say it got the DVR numbers and stuff like that. I assume it doesn't really matter for NBC and stuff like that. 5 years is still impressive. The problem I see with this, with NBC, though, is that they've pretty much given up on their Thursday night comedy lineup. You folks probably remember. I don't know how much you remember. But, like, NBC Thursday night used to be what they call must-see TV. I mean, even going back before, like, Friends and Seinfeld, you had stuff like The Cosby Show and Cheers that aired on Thursday night. And to think that...
Oh, you mean Nick at Night Light. Or not Nick at Night. Nick at Night was that light then, because I caught all those shows on Nick at Night.
Yeah, but back before they came on, they got to air on NBC. And it's just thinking, like, you know, after like 30 years of that being their hallmark night, they're kind of giving up on it because they haven't really had one of those breakout hits in quite some time. Like, even The Office, which did relatively well, wasn't as great as, like, Friends or Seinfeld at its peak as far as ratings go.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, especially, I mean, like you said, even a lot of my shows, not just on NBC, but just in general, a lot of shows I follow air on Thursdays, and so it's like, I used to always look forward to Thursdays, but now with Community gone, and then I'm trying to think of what else comes out on Thursdays, but like, Thursdays just aren't as exciting as they used to be.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that, I mean, right now, you know, everything's tentative, but everybody's kind of done their upfront, there's TV schedules for next year, and I have no shows for Thursday next year, because even Parks and Rec, which does come back for a final season, isn't on the fall schedule. So
yeah, Parks and Rec was the only other thing I can think of is like, geez.
So while
kill me now,
this,
why don't you?
Before I forget, we should end this show by recommending shows to other people that they should watch that perhaps most people don't.
So you just want to talk about Hannibal again, don't you?
No, not necessarily. Hannibal and Black Sails would be the two that I recommend. I think Black Sails is really good, but I don't ever hear anybody talking about it.
But yeah, I mean, I asked, again, this is a question I posed on Twitter, and I guess I can ask you folks. Like, what do you find easier to get into, dramas or comedies?
Comedies. Or really anything that's 30 minutes long, or 22 minutes long.
See, I find, I mean, I guess in my experience, it just seems like they're more likely to cancel comedies. Because I find comedies are really, they have rough patches during their freshman season. Because you don't find your voice. Like, I've said this, and I've had this discussion, because people, you know, if I had watched them from the beginning, I would never have followed The Office or Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation instantly comes to mind. First season of that was the worst, and most people skip it.
I think shows have gotten better about that now, because they have to be.
Well,
comedies don't get a second season now if the first season is not at least kind of worth it.
Yeah, which is my point about getting into them. It's really hard to get invested in a comedy because you don't know if they're going to last the season. And it sucks because you don't want to wait into the second season because there's probably a chance that it won't get a second season because nobody watched it.
That's kind of fair. So what's your favorite new comedy favorite most recent comedy? How's that?
Well, my favorite new show of the last season was Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I feel like you're being sarcastic that you haven't seen it, but that show is better than it should have been.
So good. No, I totally forgot it because it like ended forever ago. But
man, that was another one that ended in March.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was a finale. They aired it.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
How did
they air the last episode?
Months?
And I'm like, this is the finale.
Oh. Yeah, I'm like, how do you do the 6 months gap? Next week, and I'm like, oh, this is the ass episode.
Yeah.
Thank you all for bringing that up, though. I love that show, and that was one that I would watch, like, three episodes of every once in a while, and I completely forgot about it existing, but it's fantastic.
It ended 2 months ago.
You know, it's been a while. I love those shows. But that is a show that, as we said, is way better than it had any right to be. Like, you see the trailers for it, and you see the stuff coming out for it in advance, like, oh, they stuck Andy Samberg in a comedy, and it's a Fox comedy. And I can't remember the last time I watched a Fox comedy that I liked in recent years.
You know what's funny, too, is I think I can tell just by watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I really like this first season, but I can tell that it's going to be probably their weakest because they're still sort of feeling around where everyone is.
Yeah, and I think you kind of got that near the end when they started to kind of get the characters and this. Because at first, it was just like, it was good because the characters were that cool, but there was really no plot. And now they kind of have people set up in a position where they can tell interesting stories because you know these characters.
Yeah, you've definitely found, like, they found their flow, basically. It's like Parks and Rec kind of has their flow now, too. They have their story that kind of goes on. And for the first few seasons, it was, like, the same plot, and it was really slow and kind of just chugging. And characters were kind of just, like, tolerating it almost. But now they've, like, found their flow, and they always have a plot line going on for every character or, like, a dynamic to happen. And I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine is finally in that little rut there. They're like, okay, we've got what we want to do with this show, and let's just do it now.
Yeah. And I can't wait for that to come back, even though it's a really odd position where they're putting it next year. Because it's going to be, I guess I don't even know if you can call it that. It's going to be part of animation domination.
Okay.
Animation domination.
You know what? That's all their best, not all their best shows. Who am I kidding? Family Guy's trash. American Dad's still okay sometimes, and I like Bob's Burgers.
But it's replacing American Dad. If I'm not mistaken, is American Dad not moving to
TBS? Oh, is it? I don't know. I didn't hear that.
That's what I heard. Either that or it's moving after this next season, but it is moving to TBS from what I hear.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah, oh yeah, it is. Will be a move to TBS. TBS has picked up the series for a 15th episode, 11th season, and it's going to start airing over this summer. So, yeah, it's Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burger, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, well, two of those four are good.
Well, now you have a reason to watch it. Well, see, this is what I guess I can't really say it. I was going to say Sunday TV is so weird, but I think Sunday's the night I watch the most TV now.
I was about to say Sunday TV is Game of Thrones night. No.
And Silicon Valley. I want to just plug that
one. Yeah. I was meant to bring that up before. I like that show. But but now that you mentioned it, you're right in that the Silicon Valley characters have not found themselves as characters yet.
Yeah, they really
They get
haven't.
In funny situations, but their characters aren't developed.
But it's weird because they definitely have an overarching plot that's, like, happening. They're already in the plot, and it's, like, going down.
Yeah.
But their
characters you don't see that in comedies very much. You don't see serial comedies, which is interesting. You throwing the bike into the grass, throwing the little kid's bike into the hedge, and then smacking him in the face was the funniest comedy moment that I've seen in the last year.
And, I mean, on the same token, I accidentally found this show, but it comes on. Veep. I absolutely love Veep. Veep has that very awkward office humor where it's just put people in awkward positions and stuff like that.
I hate awkward humor.
It's like make or break for comedy sometimes. I know people love The Office for it and I hate The Office for it.
Yeah.
I didn't like Bridesmaids.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable humor, but it's because it's so uncomfortable, which is why it's funny. I don't get that.
I just feel uncomfortable for the character, and then I don't like it. I like hide my eyes and can't watch the TV screen because I feel so uncomfortable, and I don't like that feeling.
But that's the point.
I guess I don't find that enjoyable. It's like how some people don't like scary movies, even though they don't like the feeling of being scared. I don't like roller coasters either.
Yeah, no, I definitely can hear that, though. I have a bunch of friends who get anxiety from watching cringy shows and, like, watching cringy videos on YouTube and stuff like that. It just freaks them out because they put themselves in that situation. But other people love it.
Probably
like,
has
I love
to do with
it.
The fact that I have social anxiety to begin with. So, you know, I every time I go in a store, I put my headphones in because I'm afraid that somebody will ask me if I need any help.
Okay, I'm going to laugh at that, but I literally do the same thing on the street. Like, I mean, usually I'm listening to music, but sometimes...
And you live in New York. I feel like that's a little different. Like, you're doing it to avoid a homeless person asking you for money.
Well, I'm not doing it to avoid... That makes me sound awful.
No,
I'm
it's
doing
not.
It to...
Fucking avoid those homeless people.
Well, I'm not saying that I don't, but I do it to make anybody avoid talking to me. They still try to. Like, sometimes I will have on my headphones and have nothing playing. I will just have the headphones on. And I'm like, I just don't want people to talk to me right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do that too. Fine.
You know what's funny? Laser Time talked about that. Sorry, go on.
but yeah, I mean, on the same note, stuff like Mad Men comes on Sundays as well. Breaking Bad used to air on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead airs on Sunday.
So Mad Men is probably the most popular show that I've never watched. I watched an episode of it and wasn't feeling it.
That was the same as me, actually. I watched like 3 episodes and I was like, why is this good?
Yeah, I watched the first 8 or 9 episodes of season 1, and I just didn't get it.
Can we strike that off the good TV list, then?
Well, I was talking about TV shows that air on Sunday.
I'm sure it's actually good, it's just I don't get it. Like, I watched a few, I watched maybe like 5 or 6 episodes into it, and I was like, I'm just not, like, getting why this is the greatest thing in the world to some people.
Yeah, like I said, it must be the characters, but I just found it to be a chore. So, you know,
pick aside, last week tonight, John Oliver's new show on HBO on Sunday nights, also really good.
Yeah.
Right after.
And, I mean, it's kind of way too much like The Daily Show, but I don't mind.
I don't watch The Daily Show anymore. I can watch one Daily Show a week, and that's why I like it.
One Daily Show a week, so it's a weekly show?
Well, he gets Last Week Tonight.
Yeah, it's called Last Week Tonight. He does it one day a week, and I don't have time to watch, or I do have time, who am I kidding, I have nothing but time, but I don't have the interest to watch more than one of those shows a week.
I would just say this much, honestly speaking, if I found a job where I get to work one night a week for half an hour,
right?
Been...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
As a guilty pleasure, I watch Total Divas.
Oh, what's my guilty pleasure show? Now I gotta find one.
I don't know if I have any shows like that. I only watch good TV, and I only watch TV once I know it's good, for the most part. The only shows that I, like, started watching without knowing whether it was going to be good are Black Sails, Game of Thrones, and Silicon Valley. Those are the only three that weren't recommended to me by other people.
Well, I feel like with Silicon Valley, maybe it was just me. I just kind of watch it because it comes on right after Game of Thrones. And HBO has like a 3-minute buffer between shows. So
see, I have HBO Go, so it that wasn't a problem to me. I heard Mike Judge, and I'm like, I like Beavis and Butthead. So
I actually wanted to talk about Silicon Valley briefly because I started watching it from a recommendation from a friend, and I have to say, it is so amazing how accurate it is about just everything, absolutely everything. Like the whole way that the tech industry works is just so spot on in that show. And I feel like people don't appreciate that, and that it'll probably do pretty well because it's an HBO show, even though it's an HBO comedy, which is a little bit different than sort of
HBO,
like...
HBO doesn't care how shows do, also, to be fair.
Yeah, like, I don't know. HBO will basically, like, let it live continuously because it's just an HBO show, but, like, it is really underappreciated how accurate and spot on that show is.
I didn't know that, so I'm kind of glad you told me that. That's interesting. I figured it was kind of close, and that's where a lot of the humor was coming from, but that is interesting.
Yeah, no, it's totally, like, I want to give an example now, but I can't, like, off the top of my head think of anything that they did. Like, in one of the recent episodes, they had an episode about scrum tactics and, like, this board. I don't know if anyone actually knows what scrum things are, but it's really big in the game industry and just the tech industry in general. But it's basically, like, assigning tasks to people on a giant task board, and then you kind of just flow them through, like, you started it, you're doing it, you're giving feedback on it, and now it's a finished task. And you do that for, like, every task on a project. And, oh, my God, the way they handled that in the show was so perfect. It's so true. So that's my plug for Silicon Valley, because it's a funny show, but it's a funny show, and it's an accurate show, too.
There's another pirate show coming out? Crossbones. Anybody heard of that?
I was going to say they're the first pirate shows, but I assume that's the Black Sails show you keep on talking
about.
Yeah,
there is. Fucking go watch. Go watch the pilot and then make a decision from there. It's pirates, man. I watched that show, and then I went back, and it inspired me to go play more Assassin's Creed 4.
The pilot of a captain show? Wouldn't that be, like, the captain of a pirate show or something? Like, jeez. If it was about planes, I would see it calling him a pilot, but...
Get out.
And, like, why is the first episode of so many shows called Pilot anyway? Like,
I don't know. It's one of those things you just kind of accept and never think about. And I assume somebody's Googling that now.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, I mean, I was just joking about how the fact that they're all pilots, so they just title them, like, self-titled almost. But it's, like, why not be a little bit more original? Instead of calling it just Pilot, give it a name.
Well, some people do name it. Like, I think like Scrubs, the pilot is called My First Day.
Yeah, but also Scrubs had, like, a thematic naming convention, basically.
Yeah, which a lot of people do, but some of them don't always go back and rename the pilot. They just kind of, like, I mean, technically speaking, you don't even have to air the pilot as a show, and some don't, because depending on how it goes, some people get recast and they retool the shows and stuff like that.
But, like, I'm not super integrated into, like, the television scene and stuff, so, like, people talking about, like, how television shows kind of just, they work and how, like, the pilots start and stuff and how the selling process works kind of confuses me, but, like, how often, or what was the last big show that had, like, a pilot that was wasn't actually true to the show at all? Either characters or plot or, like, anything.
I mean, I'm sure there are some every year. I wouldn't know offhand.
I mean, not the last one, but I know Star Trek TNG was kind of like that.
But, I mean, I guess a recent one would be Psych. Psych recast one of the leads, because the lead in the pilot was a person who was in a relationship with one of the heads.
Yeah, it was, what's her name, from House.
Yeah. And then they switched to Juliet, and she went from a love interest for the detective to a love interest for Sean. So, I guess that would be a big change. It's a different character.
I guess that's true.
And also, I guess sticking with USA, there was also a Covert Affairs because her handler and her bosses changed when they went from pilot to screening.
I've never watched a USA Network show. Or, like, never watched more than one episode.
I enjoyed them, but for the most part, they're the same show. It's about a... I mean, it's really... It's because it's usually about, like, a really... Either a really smart or a really socially awkward person doing some super heroic stuff. Like, they had Monk, they had Psych, they had, you know... But
Burn Notice, too.
They seemed cheaper to me. Something about Burn Notice seemed cheap, and I don't know why. And I
think they are probably cheaper shows. I mean, there are shows that... Like, you could tell the difference between a CW show and a show that airs on NBC or Fox.
Yeah,
the CW show will have action for 5 minutes, like Arrow. And then, actually, okay, so the last season of Arrow got a lot better. The first season of Arrow was all the cool stuff that you wanted to see was in about 10 minutes of the show, and the other 30 minutes was relationship bullshit.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only, like, quality CW show that I would watch would be Arrow, and it's because it's Arrow, and Arrow's great.
Yeah, but you could tell the difference because there's a difference in budget.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Is Gotham coming to CW? Where is that?
No, Gotham is on Fox.
That's interesting. Why is that? Do we know? Does anybody know? I thought CW had pretty much exclusive...
No, because I guess trying to go into Dan's point, and this is actually something I had to explain this week because people want to tell me it was stupid, but...
so your site's pretty much devoted to this type of stuff, so go on.
But how a pilot season works is that you have an idea and you don't ship around the episode. You ship around the idea of the show, and then networks would be interested in it. Instead of trying to buy a concept, they have you produce a pilot, which is the first episode. And from there, they decide if they're going to pick up your show or not based on that.
Right.
So what happened is, it's not the CW, it's Warner who shops around these properties. So they had a bunch of different, like, DC Comics properties.
Oh my fucking god, CW is, owned by Warner Brothers because the W, go on.
Yeah. I owe you found out today it's owned by Warner. And I knew Warner. It's also owned by CBS.
Is that where the C comes from?
Yeah, that's right. I never thought about it, but yeah.
Is that actually where the C comes from?
You learn something new every day, I guess.
It's a merger between, CBS Network and Warner Brothers.
Dang. Like, I knew it was owned by the Warner Bros., which is why Arrow, Flash, et cetera, were, like, on the CW. But... Wow, that's
the Federer looking for, by the way, is Smallville, and those are the three. But
yeah,
well, and they also have iZombie coming this fall.
Yeah, that too.
Is Smallville in the same universe as Arrow?
No, it's a different universe.
Okay,
and it's not the same universe as the Justice League either, like the movies at least.
Right,
we'll get into that. But
it is Flash. That's the same.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
but basically, how it works is, like, they'll shop it around, and then different networks will say, "I'm interested in this."
Okay,
if you're Fox and you see a Batman show on the market, you're probably going to say, this can do well for us.
Yeah. So do you think that show started out as a detective show and then added Batman to it? Or do you think it started as Batman?
I mean, it's still a detective show. I think, because the idea has always been around. Like, you don't read comic books.
I know that it's a comic book, though.
Hasn't the idea for Gotham been around since, like, Smallville?
Well, yeah, there was always an idea, because there was Gotham Central, which is a comic series, which is about the Gotham Police Department, and the idea was pitched because it does, you know, procedurals are big things, and having it in a superhero world makes sense, but the difference is that Gotham Central takes place in the Gotham where Batman exists, so the idea was that you would have it during that time, but you wouldn't have Batman on it too often.
Gotcha.
I don't know where the idea of making it a prequel came from, but it's probably because Warner doesn't want to use Batman on TV if they're going to put him into a movie.
That's interesting. Okay.
But yeah, it's rather interesting because...
Does that mean Arrow and the Flash won't be in the Justice League movie?
Well, it honestly depends. Like, I assume they probably haven't thought that far out.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it now, like, at the earliest right now, Arrow would be finishing its fifth season, Flash would be finishing its third season by the time this Justice League movie came out. So it's probably not something they're concerned about because it's 3 years off at earliest.
Fair.
So, yeah.
Cut you off. Go on. Yeah.
Oh, no. I was just saying, because how powers work, because we'll hear about next year's show starting maybe even this summer or, you know, even sooner. So what happens is a lot of people kind of confused when they're talking about they want to do a show and when they're actually going to do a show. So, like, for example, like, a lot of these shows were kind of filmed in, let's say, December, January, and they were finished then, and then they kind of shown to the networks. And a network does research to see if there's any profitability. And then this past week and this week, they've kind of announced what shows they're picking up and what shows they aren't picking up. Right. They show what they call upfront trailers, which you've probably seen a few of, and those are kind of to get advertisers on board to say, okay, this show, okay, it has potential, I want to advertise with you. So the process is really long, but it basically comes down to this past week.
Okay.
If you compare it to something like Marvel, for example, which is owned by Disney, Disney doesn't have any reason to shop out a network because they own ABC, which is a big network on its own, and it makes more sense to keep one of keep your shows in house. Even though I say that, and they're doing four of their shows Netflix.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. I also forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
Crossbones is an NBC show, and the writer of which is Neil Cross, creator of Luther, and whose writing credits include Spooks and Doctor Who. Well, depends on which Doctor Who. Sorry, I just completely derailed that for which episodes I read.
Kind of getting back to shows, what else is on the docket? What else have you been watching, or are there any shows you want to check out during the summer when nothing else is on?
Yeah, I'm actually interested in this because all of my shows have ended and I'm looking for something. Me and my friend watch shows like religiously. We will both marathon them within like
friend?
A night.
Just a friend.
A female friend?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
Both of the questions.
What?
But we basically both just find tons of shows and we just like recommend them to each other.
Yeah.
I got her into Arrow and she got me into Once
Did.
Upon a Time. And
is that the only thing you got into her?
I bet you Arrow wasn't a hard sell to a girl. You just kind of show her episode one and that dude sitting there with his shirt off. Like, that show is designed to capture female attention.
Well, season two's marketing campaign is, at least.
Shirtless. Okay, I just want to touch on this. Because I found that funny. I understood why they did it. But I just found it funny that you advertised a show about a guy who wears a hood and a mask. Shirtless.
Uh-huh.
Like, his whole point is his secret identity.
Like, but, like,
no, just...
not just all
By the
of
way,
either.
Hero has
like,
the worst secret
and,
identity.
Like, everyone was shirtless.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, is that show is marketed to girls. That's why there are so many relationships in season one.
Let's be honest,
really.
It's also marketed towards men for a certain, to a certain degree. And I mean it both ways. There are
I think secondarily, though. I think they know that the CW is primarily composed of female viewers, so...
No, I actually think it's a bit of both. I mean, I think they have a niche with 18 more females than most networks, but I do think... I mean, I think a lot of their shows, because it tends to have sexy people, that's kind of... I mean, their market is basically like teenagers, because there's not a lot of shows on primetime that airs towards them, but stuff like Vampire Diaries, Supernatural.
Yeah,
awesome.
I mean, yeah. Arrow, like I said, I think Arrow does both because it's the superhero male fantasy. I mean, you get this super chiseled dude in the, and you have guys who, I want to be that guy.
And they found pretty people that can act well on TV. That's kind of hard to
act well enough for this show. Let's go with
that's true. Yeah. I also think it's funny how many people from Spartacus keep ending up on Arrow.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that Amanda Waller was from Spartacus until somebody showed me a picture that I guess her and Shay dated on that show or something like that.
Yep, it's like people show up in Spartacus like, huh, I've seen your tits. That's like the first thought that goes through my head.
I feel sorry for the Game of Thrones actresses then.
Right.
But what type of shows are you looking for this summer, Dan?
Anything that'll be entertaining for... I guess I should say us, because this includes... I'll recommend it to my friend, too. But me, basically.
Yeah, he's just a friend.
This is getting weird. I shouldn't have even mentioned it.
Yeah, keep posted next week. We're going to ask you about this every week. So how are things with your friend?
We're going to ask you and Justin about it next week. Well, I mean, I guess it also depends on how accessible they are. Because I think, I mean, this is one of the great things about Netflix. I mean, it's something your generation probably won't know as much. Like, when a show ended,
You
didn't know what happened over the summer. Like, you didn't even get season sets back then. The show ended, and that was it.
What you did is you rented, like, four episodes at a time from Hollywood of 24 to go watch it that way.
No, that's what I mean. Like, back then, like... You didn't get DVD. If we didn't have DVDs, and you don't put out season sets on VHS, at best you would probably get a compilation of best of episodes, which is like four or five episodes from the season or something like that. So, like, the only chance to see them was in syndication, which is why you didn't miss a show.
Yeah. Now it's kind of all over the place. You have so many different outlets to watch it.
Yeah, I mean that's why, you know, that's why TV ratings are so difficult, because you know, you have to be glued to a TV to watch a show. You could DVR it, you can watch it on the next day, watch it on their website, you can watch it on apps.
Actually, I don't mean to derail your question, Earl, but I'm kind of interested, and we can talk about this after, but in talking about, like, the place that Netflix has in giving shows, like, a place to become shows, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that will be something. I mean, because when you said you wanted a show to watch over the summer, that was the first thought, but I figured that, I guess that's just me. Like, that's what I would do over the summer, is I will find a show on Netflix that I've never seen.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing right now, is I'm looking through Netflix to find shows that, like, either myself or my friend will really enjoy, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just basically doing a sample platter.
Yeah,
and it's like, see, I say Netflix, and then I bring up Netflix, and then I really use Watch Online Series, the website, because that has more of a selection of shows than Netflix for me, because I can't just go by what's on Netflix, because I feel like I've already watched all the stuff that I'm interested in on there.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're always adding new shows, which is why it's, and sometimes you can discover an old show that's probably ended, which is always nice, especially if you want to do it over the summer. It's like, I just watched the show, and it's over, and you can move on, and you don't have to work. Like, you know, like, for example, one of my summer shows that I usually do is Once Upon a Time. It usually comes out on the last week of August, and I'll just
Is that show good? I know there's two fairy tale shows, and one of them's a lot better than the other one.
It's okay.
I
want
to rave about Once Upon a Time, too. It's awesome. Don't listen to Earl.
It's okay.
I know Elsa appears in the last episode, and that's all I know about.
Wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's been in the fucking news. It was on the front page of IGN. That's not a spoiler.
It was the last, like, minute and a half, the exact last, like, minute of the episode.
But it was in the news everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the problem with the, I think, modern... It's that it's very hard. Like, we have in this, you know, super, you don't want spoilers, but everybody wants to be, and they want that instant feedback. Like, they want to comment on something as it happens. And it's really weird, especially with TV shows, because, like we said, you don't necessarily need to be in front of your TV anymore.
Yeah.
But people watch it live, you want to be part of that conversation. So you talk about it, you tweet about it, you spoil it. Like, I knew about Elsa, like, 5 minutes after the episode ended.
Yeah, same.
See, I didn't even count Twitter for that. Like, Twitter spoilers are one thing. I'm talking about on the front page of IGN, the headline, guess which Disney princess is coming to that, whatever the thing was, and it was very clearly the back of Elsa in that picture.
Oh, no, I don't...
Like, the funniest example I can think of is the end of, what was it, season 8 of How I Met Your Mother? The season when the mother was actually, like, shown, but, like, that was it in the finale. Like, an hour after it aired on Facebook, the How I Met Your Mother page posted a picture of her and said, "The reveal of the mother!" And the comments just exploded in people like, "Oh my god, it's only an hour after the show aired, and I missed it, and you just spoiled it for me." That was...
Did someone do that with Game of Thrones 2 this season? I feel like there was someone that was killed off, and then the actor... Maybe it wasn't Game of Thrones, but some show where a character was killed off, and the actor immediately tweeted about it as it happened and was, "Well, guess I'm dead now." And then everybody got pissed at the actor for saying that.
Oh, no, and those are the two examples. I think it was Joffrey. And the How I Met Your Mother one was the one I was going to bring up, because it's not just, like, it's one thing if it's people, but it's another thing if it's the actual source.
By the way, if you're not caught up in Game of Thrones yet.
Right, it's been a month and a half since that episode ended.
I agree. if you watch Game of Thrones, you're the type of person that watches it every week. I don't know anyone who's a casual Game of Thrones watcher.
Well, I'm planning on watching it after it finishes so that I can avoid spoilers.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's, well, I mean, he probably won't remember this in 4 or 5 years whenever it
ends. Exactly, I'm not going to remember it when it ends.
Fair.
But yeah, it's one of those things, especially being that if you don't know the characters right now, you probably won't put a name to it or anything. But yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you want to be part of it, especially if, you know, you want to be part of it, you want to control the narrative if you're a show. But how do you do that? Because do you, like, are you going to wait until people see it in the West Coast? Do you wait until the next day? And it's something that we're all kind of learning. I mean, you know, everybody wants to get on board with the second.
Does West Coast not have the same? I thought it all started at the same time.
No, West Coast.
Really?
Because then it wouldn't make any sense, because our shows would start at 5.
You're right, but I guess I've always assumed whenever I see, like, 10, 9 Central, I just now realized that Central's the only time they do that for, though. Because I'm used to seeing everything an hour earlier than everything you see. In my time.
Wait. Spooky.
Oh, so you see stuff like your prime time starts at 7?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Did you not know that?
No, I just...
I guess y'all don't... Yeah, obviously the commercials where you run aren't going to say the show airs at 8, 7 Central.
Right? Well, it said
no,
that.
They do say that. They do say
it
that.
Said that. Oh, okay, just Central. For some reason, I always forget that Texas is Central. For some reason, I always think it's Mountain Time.
We're in the dead center of fucking America. There is no more center than us.
But the shows like, I know they do it in California and stuff like that, West Coast, they air at 8, so it's not like they're not on our schedule, they're just 3 hours behind.
See, I didn't know that. That's interesting. I knew football games are really early. I knew that to watch football, you got to get up at 9, but they're not going to wait to show football, obviously, so that one makes more sense.
Wait, football comes out at 9?
In the morning? Let's see.
Oh, for them, yeah. Okay.
10, I guess, yeah, because it'd be noon for me for the Texans, so I'll have to get up at 10 to watch them.
Yeah, okay, that live TV is different. Like, I assume stuff like the Oscars, the Golden Globes are at the same time. But if we're pre-recorded, like, Arrow will air at 8 for us, 7 for you, and it will air at 8, perfect time.
Man.
Which is why there's certain people, like, for example, with Game of Thrones, a lot of people get, like, the HBO West and East feed, so they'll just watch it on HBO East.
I think everybody's watched on HBO Go, and it doesn't really matter.
Well, from what I understand, HBO Go isn't always dependable.
Okay, so for episode 1 of Game of Thrones, it wasn't, but it's been since.
So, you know, people don't want to miss it. But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, like, you don't think about it that often. I mean, I usually think about time zones just because I'm so accustomed to doing the podcast now where I have a bunch of time zones in my head. But, like, a network should, but again, how do you balance that? Because, like, you know, like, if you talk about it after it is in the West Coast, a lot of people are probably going to bed and they probably won't be part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, even with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, I know they had an interview up after the finale this week, and they're like, we're going to post it after the West Coast finale finishes, so stay up until like 12 p.m. Eastern time or whatever.
Right.
12 a.m. But yeah, it's again, I personally speaking, I think this whole second screen experience is pretty dumb, but it is something that we're trying to work into.
I've never done any of that stuff personally. Like, well, I mean, I've never followed along with my iPad while watching a TV show.
I mean, you tweet about it, and that's part of the second
Don't, personally. I don't want to be that person that ruins and spoils something for other people, so I don't do it. I don't have enough Twitter followers to risk losing more by tweeting spoilers out. None of that works.
I try not to tweet spoilers. I try to be as vague as possible. Like, I can't believe that happened.
Even people trying to be vague, I'm usually smart enough to understand what the fuck, like, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what they're talking about.
That's the problem. And it's the old adage that my friends used to go by, if you ever try to spoil something, because if you spoil it, then you're ruining it for them. If you don't spoil it, like, if you say something happened that doesn't happen, then they know that isn't going to happen. So,
yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, I hate that. When you, like, you say something to avoid the spoiler, but it ends up being a spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, I told, I just talking about Avatar, the Last Airbender series, I was like, oh yeah, that's like the season where Zuko happens, and then that was all I said. And Zuko, the main antagonist from seasons 1 and 2, becomes a sidekick on season 3. All I said was, that's the season when Zuko happens. And my friends were like, stop, she hasn't gotten that far. And I'm like, well, you just, now it's a spoiler.
The only thing that I think I've done that, I've handled that well, is someone, by the way, has everybody here finished Breaking Bad? Yes?
Yes.
Breaking Bad spoiler coming up. Okay, even though it's really not, I guess. Someone on Facebook said, I'm coming to the end of Breaking Bad. I just want to know whether Jesse lives or dies, but don't answer that. And I said, he lives, and then right under it, I said, he dies. And then I thought that was an interesting way of doing that. But a specific example for Game of Thrones is someone tweeted out a crown and then a wine cup and then a skull and crossbones. And then everybody got pissed off because they realized he spoiled the episode for them. And it does not take a genius to figure that out. But this person had like 20,000 Twitter followers or something. So the internet just blew up at him. And people that think they're being clever by not spoiling things are the worst.
Yeah.
That's why I stay off social media on the night of any show that I care about.
Like, for example, I was so happy nobody spoiled Arrow for me last night. Part of it was because I didn't go on Twitter until I finished the episode. But like, last night I saw Godzilla in theaters in advance screening, and I came back and I was like, this is a good movie, but I'm like, I can't say anything because anything I say specifically is going to be spoilers because it's like I want to say, like, Godzilla is a good movie if you go in knowing what to expect, but I don't want to tell people what to expect because that in itself is a spoiler.
Okay. People spoiled Amazing Spider-Man 2 for me that way. I still haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2, but people spoiled something about it, and I was...
I can only think of one thing that's a spoiler.
Okay, now, when you say people, do you mean Sony's marketing division who put everything in the trailers?
Right.
That too, though. That is.
Have you ever
true.
Seen that? The guy that puts the entire plot of Spider-Man 1 together before the show, before the movie actually aired, just by using the trailers?
Yeah.
It's like a 20-minute video clip that basically explains the whole movie.
Oh, God. That's like How to Train Your Dragon 2 is being really bad about that. All
I haven't watched any of it. I'm so happy.
Spoilers. Every single trailer has massive spoilers. Don't watch a single one.
Yeah, I only watched the first thing that was the video clip of him flying through the air. That was like the single cut straight from the movie clip. And that's all I see of it.
Yeah, because I remember it was so bad that the people behind it had to come out and apologize for them putting in certain scenes in the trailers because they don't get final say on it.
Huh. Yeah. I hate that.
It's really weird because, and it's a double-edged sword because if you don't, there's a lot of movies that kind of won't put stuff in from, like, the later half of the movie, and then people are like, oh, you misled me. Like, this isn't what I expected. And
right.
It's like it's really...
God damn it. That Liam Neeson movie with the wolves. That's a very strong example of a movie that, like, they advertised it based on him fighting wolves with bottles. And that
I was thinking of another one that involved dogs, actually. Snow Dogs was marketed very poorly.
Yeah!
They took Kangaroo only Jack. Clips from the one scene that was, like, a dream sequence when the dogs were, like, pulling pranks on him, and they made it seem like, oh, that sly dog, gosh darn you. And then the whole movie
Kangaroo
was super
Jack
depressing.
Was the same way. They pulled scenes from a talking kangaroo, and I thought, oh, that movie's going to be about a talking kangaroo. Nope, that was a dream sequence.
Yep, exactly. It's like, why even?
Right. I also hate when comedies ruin, like, the funniest parts of the movie in the trailer. Have you guys seen Neighbors?
I have not seen that yet.
You need to. It's as good as 21 Jump Street.
I've heard very good things about it. I have seen the trailers.
All right, the trailer scene where they use the airbag... is still the funniest gag, and one of the funniest gags in the whole movie, and it's one of those I wish hadn't been written in the trailer for me in advance. But then comedies are also weird because you have to draw people to them, but don't want to see too much of it.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is like usually they go with the most, and it's like, yeah, but then you don't leave anything for the movie, and it's a very, because you don't want to have a trailer where it's not any ass, because then it's like, why would I want to go see this?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very tough line to walk. Again, it's one, like, for example, I think Pixar's usually pretty good with this, because they create trailers that don't have anything to do with the movie, it just gives you a general idea of the tone and the character.
I wish more people would do that. I wish people would use their, like, B jokes for... there's a fine line there, too, but I wish comedies would use jokes that don't make it in the movies and the trailer.
Yeah,
that was just
I was just thinking that comedies especially should be the ones that use clips that don't make it, because a lot of movies do that, but they tend to be action movies, so you're like, I never saw that scene or that explosion or whatever, and it's like, well, that's because they took it out of the clip. Why don't they do that for comedy movies? Say, like, the jokes that didn't make it in or something. Maybe spoil one joke that was in the movie to give you a good sense of it, but... Like, I don't know.
And I guess
comedies are hard to do.
Yeah. They do get more of a pass, but it's still annoying that they do it. I've gotten to where I close my eyes during movie previews now. I close my eyes and show my fingers in my ears and go, if it's a movie that I know that I have an interest in, which is most of the time.
Well, I mean, at the same time, I guess if you know that you're interested, because at the same time, it's always nice to kind of discover a movie you didn't know existed.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean, after I know it exists and I know I want to see it, I don't watch the trailers if I can help it. Like, Game of Thrones is the worst one. I never watch Game of Thrones trailers. I saw 1 second of a Game of Thrones trailer for this season, and it was a dragon flying over city. I'm like, fuck, I've already seen too much.
To be fair, that was a non-consequential scene.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it's like
Elsa
spoiler. The Elsa spoiler doesn't spoil anything about the finale of Once Upon a Time, but it's a big spoiler for next season, I guess, potentially.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is it because you know that's going to be part of that marketing when the show starts up again.
Right. Yeah, no, all it's doing is foreshadowing what next season's antagonist is going to be. That's it.
It's like how we knew the Flash was going to be an Arrow before the Flash actually made it into Arrow.
But that was like a marketing scheme. That was a little different, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, like, if he had shown, like, I guess a better example is like how Arrow usually drops the name of Ra's al Ghul, but he never shows up. Now, if they said, I guess a better example, since this aired this week, was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they just, like, Nick Fury's on this week's episode, Nick Fury's on this week's episode, Nick Fury's on this week's episode.
So, question, can Ra's al Ghul show up in Arrow? Or is there a license or something there?
Well, I mean, in that case, it really depends on Warner Brothers, because sometimes they don't have, like, having multiple versions of the same character exist, and if anything, I would imagine he would probably either be saved for the movie, possibly, or he would go with Gotham, because he's more of a Batman character.
Yeah, I'm just getting sick of them bringing him up all the time, knowing that we're never going to see him. He gets name-dropped, like, every 3 episodes for some reason or another, and they're never going to actually show him in the movie. Even, like, a claw style from Inspector Gadget where we see his back would be okay with me.
I mean, they kind of did that with Slade, though, at the beginning, the very, very beginning.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think Ra's is... I mean, I think it's cool enough that they brought in the League of Assassins, and it's a great chance to kind of highlight B and C. Because, I mean, how many people actually know about his other daughter?
Yeah, it's true.
I know nothing about the Arrow universe. In fact, that's one of my favorite things about the show, is I have no idea what to expect or where it's going, since Arrow was not exactly a popular superhero compared to everybody else.
I was about to say, even from a person who reads comic books, it's not, you don't know anything, because this show doesn't really follow any comic book. Like, as an example, like, Diggle isn't a character who exists in the comics. Felicity doesn't really exist in the comics.
What about
his mom?
Go on. That's what I was about to ask.
His mom and sister don't really... Like, he has no family in the comics. Like, his parents
are
dead.
Speedy is a different character, isn't it? I don't read the comics.
Speedy is Roy.
Right.
There's a lot of... So there's a, you know, like, Deathstroke isn't an Arrow villain. He's a Batman villain.
Yeah.
So is Deadshot.
Speaking of, just 2 things about Arrow. One, I love the villains on that show. I think they do one of the best jobs on television of explaining motivations for villains and how they get there. And I think it's
That's
fantastic that they do that. 2, the fact that the Black Canary has cleavage in her outfit is hilarious. Like there was a specific fight at the end of the season where it's, I can't remember the name of Summer Glau's character, but it's like Summer Glau's character and then the Black Canary, and you see Summer Glau in full body armor and everything, and the Black Canary has this just cleavage cut out in front of her.
I was going to say, the funny thing is her costume in this show is a lot more conservative than her comic book costume.
I believe that.
Because, I mean, she wears fishnets.
Right. So, another funny thing, Laurel is listed as the Black Canary in IMDb. Didn't know if that was a spoiler or if somebody accidentally listed that, and I was...
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say if it's a spoiler or not. It's just that the character she's based off of from the comics is the actual Black Canary.
Okay.
She doesn't have a sister who is the Black Canary, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's the direction they're going in, even though the finale seemed to be hinting at that.
I'm going to keep talking about the Arrow now. I think it's weird how at the end of every season they bring up here's what happened on the island that we forgot to tell you.
No, I really like the island juxtaposition, though.
I have the fact that it started off, I spent 5 years on an island by myself, and it's like, you weren't by yourself.
Yeah.
And it was like, I saw Sarah again.
Part of it in China. What the fuck was that?
Oh, I also went to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Same exact thought process. The first episode, it's like he comes into Starling City after the 5 years and he's got these awesome kung fu moves, and it's like, you were on an island for 5 years alone, and how did you learn these kung fu moves? How did you practice against people? And then as the story goes on, there were like a ton of bad guys. Oh, also, Sarah was there. Oh, also, I was in Hong Kong. It's like, well, stop.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that it keeps, like, I do love the island storyline. I kind of wish that they'd, I know why they didn't do it, but I kind of wish they'd started season 1 on the island and just done this show in that order.
But I don't think it would have worked because that's the problem with comic book origins. You don't want it to be Smallville again. You don't want it to be like he's going.
Yeah. And I know why they didn't, and it does make sense. But the island story was more interesting than season 1 of Arrow, at the very least, the first 90% of season 1. And, the problem where they, by the way, I was in Shanghai for a while. Now, how the fuck did you get back to the island? Like, obviously, but come on.
That's what I want to see, because I'm just thinking, it's not even how he gets back to the island, but, you're in Hong Kong. you couldn't call a Charter of Shane home or something like that.
Yeah.
That is what I want to see them explain.
And they're kind of retconning the fact that you were on an island for 5 years. Well, no, you weren't. You weren't on an island at this point now for 4 years max.
Right. And then the girl that the head of their – it's S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know what the fuck they call the organization, but it's S.H.I.E.L.D.
August.
The universe. Yeah. He's met her before in the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he would clearly say, like, oh, I recognize you from that time that you took me to Hong Kong.
Oh, no, he did say that.
He did?
Because he said, because the first time they meet on the show, he sneaks up on her, and he's like, he just calls her Amanda, because I think it's when he's trying to find something about shit. Yeah, so he knows who she is. And that was what people were wondering, is like, how did they meet? Because they did establish they knew each other beforehand during this season. And I actually have no idea what Argus stands for, but now I'm really curious.
Okay, another question. Who does he back next season?
Actually,
because he doesn't go... Sorry, go on. Yours is better.
I was just going to tie up the loose end of Argus. It probably has to do with the mythological Argus having many eyes on... Like, the Argus has eyes all over his body, and in mythology, all the eyes are put to sleep. Argus probably has to do with the fact that they have eyes everywhere, and they are like a surveillance sort of thing.
Well, okay,
I don't know if it actually stands for anything, but that's probably...
It stands for something because it's spelled out that keeps it S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
In the comic books, it stands for Advanced Research Group Uniting Superhumans. In Arrow, apparently, it stands for Advanced Research Group United Support.
That's kind of lame.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it's just as bad as S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, we want these initials, we'll find a way to get it to work.
In fact, that's one of my favorite parts of the show, S.H.I.E.L.D., is how they address that.
It's how in the Flash promo they called them metahumans. I don't know if DC Universe calls them metahumans in general,
they call them metahumans. They don't use mutants or superheroes.
Well, I knew not mutants, but I assumed they at least use superheroes, but yeah. But the Flash is a little bit more of that sort of demigod-style superhero.
I'm very curious to see, I saw the trailer and I thought it kind of looked dumb the way they animate him running. I've always wanted to know how you do that in live action and not make it look stupid, and I don't know that they've got
it. I thought it looked great for a TV budget.
But it still looked weird.
I mean, it's because there's no proper way to film it, because it's, either you're not going to see the character, or there's no proper way to film it, really.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that there's no good way to solve that, but it still looked weird.
No. I hear good things about Quicksilver in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, he looks pretty good, but he's kind of just given a stream of light behind him, almost.
Yeah, either that, or what you're going to do is you show down everything around him and you make him move really quick.
That's true.
Yeah. It'll probably be done for the one scene where they show him off where it's like, oh, that's Quicksilver, he's fast.
Yeah. Honestly speaking, the best way to do it is animation, like the Flash and Justice League.
Fine. So anyway, what I was saying is I think Oliver Queen gets more than any other superhero character. I think it's hilarious that he's stranded on a desert island and still finds a way to hook up with women.
I would still go with Batman, because Batman.
You don't see Batman getting any very often.
Batman has a son, so he's gotten some.
Sure,
you don't see him getting any because he's always at night.
Oh, and that's not true. If you ever read the New 52, the first issue of Catwoman is Batman and Catwoman banging in costume.
Nice,
which is really weird because they keep the mask on.
Yeah. I mean, of course Catwoman's into that type of stuff, but Batman? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird.
Like, of course Catwoman pulls out the whips and, chains him to the bed.
It was really weird, because he kind of shows up like, yeah, I want some, and that's that. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on in this world.
When Batman shows up
because
I want
Batman,
some, just say yes.
Like, where's Rachel?
Oh, yeah, oh, that feels good. Yeah, I have to keep the voice on during the whole thing.
Silence, though.
Oh, man.
So we have done a terrible job talking about TV shows.
Super,
I was about to say, that's probably the end of it, isn't it?
I don't even think we recommended any shows for Dan.
Black Sails, Hannibal. Fucking go watch Hannibal. It's the most amazing, artsy show.
I'll probably give Hannibal a try. I saw an episode on the TV offhand. I was just doing something and it was on.
It looks like a serial killer of the week show, and it is for about the first five episodes of the first season, but that was just so that, their show wouldn't get canceled, I guess. They used the serial killer of the week show to sell the idea to the executives, And after those first few episodes, they move on, and it becomes a completely evolving plot that's fantastic.
You know, I actually just want to address this point by talking about Arrow for one more point. I wish Arrow did the Monster of the Week thing a little bit more procedurally, almost, sometimes.
I didn't like that about the first season.
I feel like they don't do Monster of the Week much, and I guess that's probably the problem, because sometimes it's not even about the big bad of the week. About, like, his personal... there was an episode... it was like halfway through the season where I thought the best part of the episode was kind of dealing with the interpersonal relationships. I think it was the episode where Oliver and Sarah announced that they were dating Taro and the family.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, like, the family dinner, and then Oliver talking to Taro about her drinking problem.
Oh, come on. You're the reason the first season existed. You're the reason there's so much relationship bullshit in that first season.
I don't mind relationship. I don't... No, the relationship stuff in the
first
season...
I'm giving you a little bit of a hard time.
The relationship stuff in the first season is not worse, because it's the terrible love triangle between... And,
yeah.
You know, she doesn't... Yeah. This stuff was more like, you know, what, Earl was a drunk, and she's blaming everybody else for her problem but herself, and this is finally that part of, you know, this is the kind of point everybody was with at that season, where it's like, we don't want you to, we hate this part of you, so stop it.
Right.
And this is when I was finally like, you know what, you blame me, you blame your sister, you blame your dad, you blame your job, but at some point, the common core here is you.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of wish the show had gone farther in showing that her alcoholism and pill addiction messed her up. Because it seemed to me like, oh, she's an attractive person that still gets a bunch of guys to go on dates with her and is dating the mayor and is an alcoholic and abusing pills. But it's not really negatively affecting her life in any way at all so far.
She lost a job. She had to go to AA meeting.
Okay, sure. But that's like because some guy mandatorily showed up and said, we caught you. Now you lost your job. It wasn't actually like affecting anything about her.
Well, no, yeah, it was affecting her because they weren't taking her serious as an attorney, because she was going after her boyfriend. For being, you know, like this. I mean, granted, in the end, she was proven correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was good that he got stabbed. I thought that was funny. You're like, oh, maybe he can redeem him. Nope.
Yeah, I thought something was going to happen. I didn't think they would just straight up kill him.
Yeah.
It's the same way that Isabel, some of the character, just got murdered. Like, okay, that happened.
I think, yeah, honestly, the first time I saw it, I, like, missed it. I had to go back a few seconds. I was like, wait, did they actually just do that? Like, what?
Yeah. I was surprised they murdered his mother so early, too. Usually something like that is an event for the last episode of the season, or second last episode.
I was
going to
say, like, killing off, I mean, spoilers here, but killing off Moira was kind of like...
Oh, now you want to go spoilers? We've been talking about that.
Yeah, but no, that's a pretty significant one, though, but... Like, killing off Moira just seemed like, who are they going to kill next season? Like, honestly, they're going to have to kill someone off that's going to be pretty big next season.
So
they killed Tommy off, and that was a thing, but Moira's pretty big. What's that?
I don't want your opinion if y'all have read the comics. I was going to ask who you think the villain is for next season, because it seemed to me like it was setting up Malcolm Merlyn and his sister to be the villains. And his sister was wearing all black at the end of the season.
I don't know if I want them to. I don't. He just got promoted to serious worker here. I didn't think he'll be with Thea. I don't think he'll be a big bad again. I don't think he'll be like the main villain.
Yeah.
I honestly think the main thrust of it is going to be that prison.
Probably.
Okay.
His sister, you don't think shows up as a villain?
Oh no, I think she'll have. I don't think she'll have. She'll probably have an arc, but I don't think she'll be the big bad.
Okay.
Like, she won't be like Malcolm Merlyn from season one.
I hate that. Is a pet peeve of mine when shows reuse the same big bad from season to season. Like, do y'all watch?
Oh, I was really hoping they were going to reuse Slade though, and I really still hope they do. He was.
Yeah.
He was a really good overarching.
They might, but I don't want him to be the main villain.
Yeah, I don't think anybody. I don't think he's going to. Like I said, I think it's going to be the prison. I think Oliver. Like, I don't really. I was thinking, like, how is he going to be fed?
Yeah,
yeah,
I thought too.
I thought the same thing.
I had the moment of the end of Batman where he's like, I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save your life. Like, that's exactly what you fucking did to him. Not feeding him and killing him is the exact same thing. That is not an out for that.
He'll come back in like 2 months and there's nothing but bones there.
Like, oh, people like
food.
Don't food. I was going to say, maybe the super serum, but nope, he doesn't have the super serum in him anymore, so I don't know what he's doing.
If he did, he would be able to break through the bars.
Yeah, I expected the show to address that, and it just sort of ignored it completely.
Yeah, I thought they would be like staff, or I honestly don't
know.
One
line, or a, yeah.
They'll come back at the start of the season. Like, we forgot to feed you, didn't
we? By the way, we've totally been feeding you. Yeah.
And
maybe
that was actually it about Slade. That was Oliver's technicality. He's like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to let the lack of giving staff a role to feed you kill you.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if this will be a big bad, but I mean, they did set it up like something's going to happen with his baby mama.
Really?
His baby mama.
Because remember, they
said that was a one-off, never coming back again.
I thought that was
to give Moira more of a relatable character right before she died.
Probably, but at the same time, you don't bring up the fact that he has a kid who's about 7 or 8 without thinking of paying that off.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of it like that.
I thought that was just more for backstory exposition, honestly.
Yeah, but I mean, again, but you,
but it could like, be. I get what you're saying.
You could give backstory, but why? Like, you could have had Myra have her get the abortion or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, do y'all watch
keep the kid? Yeah.
The Walking Dead at all?
Yeah.
So the fact that they brought back the governor as the main villain for 2 seasons in a row made me angry. It's stuff like that that I don't like.
I actually thought that was fine. Partially because I know the comic books and I know he's the one who actually runs them out of the prison. But I actually think it's nice if you bring it back into a way that their relationship evolves. Because technically speaking, he wasn't really the villain of season 3, I guess?
I don't know. He went through a one-episode redemption arc that was a cool episode, but then immediately went back to his old self one episode later.
And at the same time, he was technically only the villain for half of season 4.
I actually want to parallel. It sounds like I don't read the comics or watch the show, but he sounds a lot like Gus from Breaking Bad, where he's like not quite a villain the first kind of time. The first season 3 when he's introduced, he's not really a villain. He's just kind of a main player, and you're like, this guy's gonna.
He's absolutely a villain in season 3, though.
By the end of season 3, yeah. But when you first start like seeing him, not really, and then he evolves into one.
Walking Dead.
No, I'm talking about Gus.
Yeah, I know. I was talking about, to your comparison, there is no mistaking that the governor is the main villain.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that evolution. Yeah.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
But like, you have him in 2 different seasons, but he's a different role per season. I don't know what
the governor is. I think that's what they did with the governor. Like, I think he becomes more of a villain his second time around. Because the first season, he's kind of played up as a hero because he has this community, he's protecting these people. It's only when he sees what other people have that he kind of goes crazy.
And then, yeah, he goes crazy. And does he attack the prison in the season 3 as well? Or do they attack him? I can't remember.
They attack him.
Okay. But then it's like he goes through a redemption arc, gets beat down, and then comes back with a tank. Like, that could have happened last season. They could have just found a tank and gotten that over with without him finding another group to do it.
Let's be honest. I am not going to defend The Walking Dead on its patience.
Well, how about time?
I don't think anybody's going to defend
Coral. Sorry.
On his patience.
I met a kid named Coral last weekend, and I did not stop yelling that at him for the entire night. Coral.
That's a bummer
name.
Not
Coral. His name was Coral.
That's really a bummer name.
Yeah, he's a frat kid, too.
Speaking of Coral, and I guess... Because we are way over the time limit at this point.
Yeah, really, something's going to get cut here.
Like, what about like animation and stuff like that, filling in the void? I mean, I know it's not the same thing because animation doesn't usually air in prime time. But, you know, like, Gretchen Okoro should be coming back soon.
I never got into that. Yeah.
Can that just be my thoughts on Korra? I'm happy it's coming back, but I'm not because of last season. As long as they do it not like last season.
Yeah.
I've never liked animation. I've never been a big anime person either. I watched an episode of Attack on Titan. I'm like, that was kind of cool, I guess. But it's not something that I find myself wanting to go back to.
Animation's awesome. What did you watch as a kid?
Okay, yes. As a kid, fine. As cartoons, I don't know. I like Bob's Burgers. I like Archer. South Park, I'll watch like once every year.
So you're the cool kid who only watches adult animation.
What should I be watching then? Justice League or something?
SpongeBob SquarePants. Thank you very much.
I still watch SpongeBob SquarePants. That's just
great. Sanjay and Craig, excuse me. Gravity Falls.
Don't know.
Okay, I know what those are, and I'm way too old for these shows because they are just really trippy and out there for me.
Yeah, no. Gravity Falls is somewhat quality.
No, I like Gravity Falls, but like Sanjay and Craig, I saw like a commercial for that. There's like a character who like licks his own armpit.
Yeah, no, it's one of those like stupid current Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, like, he has a, like, his best friend, like, I think Sanjay's a snake, and, like, he has...
Craig's a snake.
Oh, Craig's a snake, whatever. And he has a brother who's a snake who came to town this week, and he's, like, the cool snake who apparently wears, like, a suit because he's a snake and he wears a human suit. I'm like, what the hell is this show?
Yeah, it's one of those stupid, like, Cartoon Network-esque, like, gross out is the way to go to appeal to kids sort of shows.
All right, so instead of talking about shows that nobody watches, we should... I had an idea. What, to, like, end the show... What is a universe that you'd like to see a TV show take place in?
This one.
The Dark.
God damn it.
End of show. Wrap up it up.
I guess we've kind of had this discussion before. I don't know if we've had this discussion, but it's something that's been popping up more recently since they've been talking about it. But I think that Nintendo has a couple of properties that would make interesting TV shows. Not necessarily TV shows Sam would watch, apparently, but, like, you know, going with the kind of Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network crazy and really busy and out there cartoons, I think something like a WarioWare cartoon would be really interesting.
Oh, God, that would be, even as, like, a short sort of thing, like those 5 minutes between...
Yeah,
WarioWare would be perfect for that.
I think it has a ton of potential. I mean, like, you can play it straight, as, and it's about Wario trying to come up with his micro-mini games and testing them out every... It would be like, you know, Pinky in the Brain with Wario coming up with this game.
Yeah.
Brain.
But, yeah. Like, micro-game size, basically. They could call it
a micro-game.
I guess
micro-brain works a lot differently from y'all's, because I was thinking Star Wars and Harry Potter would make for good
TV
shows.
Yeah, Star Wars.
I want a live-action Star Wars show. I think that TV budgets have evolved to where that could be a thing now.
I just want to say, don't write off the Clone Wars. It is an excellent show.
I'm not writing it off. I like the Clone Wars.
I would say this much. I find, I mean, from what experience we've had with it, even with a decent budget, sci-fi is very difficult to do on a TV budget. And
it could be Falling Skies and not have it look like shit. I think that somebody
could do it. I was going to say the other thing is there's a lot more expected from that because, like, you don't want a sci-fi TV... You can't get a sci-fi TV show that survives that community.
But you can if it's Star Wars. That's the thing. Game of Thrones is a huge risk and they can't do what they do, but if Game of Thrones can do fantasy on a TV budget, then I think you can do Star Wars.
I think you can, but I think there is no comparable thing to Game of Thrones in movies, or there wasn't at the time. Like, even Lord of the Rings is slightly different.
Yeah.
A lot of Game of Thrones tends to focus more on the people and not necessarily the special effects.
Yeah, sure. Game of Thrones is fantasy without, like, pushing the fantasy in your face.
That's true. Bring Star Trek back, you know.
I was thinking of stuff like Almost Human. I was thinking of stuff like Firefly. Like those stuff that
stuff
have
like
a...
One season that gets canceled? Yeah.
Per episode, it's a lot more expensive than making a multi-cam sitcom or making a variety TV show.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of... You need that audience right away. Right. And yeah, Star Wars has that built-in stuff, but at the same time, how many people want a weekly Star Wars? Like, I'm sure people want to watch Star Wars, but do they want a wiki TV show? Like, what is it going to be about?
That's fair. What about Star Trek? Bring that back.
I mean, it's one of those things, though, where, like, the biggest fans will always want to have more, more, more. Like, I love Zelda, and I would love to have just more Zelda all the time, constantly, in my blood. But, like, at a certain point, it would definitely dilute itself.
Zelda.
But...
Yeah. And I think that...
This is why, just quick said, I'm excited for the next show that the guy who made Spartacus is going on to make a sci-fi show about, like, aliens in space and stuff, that kind of sci-fi. And I am super excited to see what he comes up with. That is, like, the most promising. And there's not even an announced name or anything yet. That's just what he wants to work on. And I am excited for a show like that on a network like Starz that can actually show violence and stuff.
I love that feel, though, when you have, like, a prominent guy you love to follow and it's just like, I'm taking up this project. And you're like, I literally know nothing about your project, but I love it.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I guess...
Space titties. Also going to be a thing in that show.
Yeah, I was going to go back to your earlier conversation, but I actually think we should wrap it up now.
We've kind of been...
But, yes, we will be back next week with... I don't know, because this was actually next week's episode that we decided to push off.
We're going
to
be back next week with the more on-topic topic. How about that?
We're going to talk about being on topic next week.
that never happens any week.
And you can find us on Twitter at Nerds on the Rocks, Google Plus, Facebook, same thing. You can find us at nerdsontherocks.com. Check out the website for reviews of comic books, video games. This week I reviewed Scram Kitty and His Buddy on Rails, which is a really interesting game that takes a while to wrap your head around. But check
I started
that
writing
out.
A Broforce review, by the way.
Nice. Is that game out? Out?
I don't know. It's see, the way I see it, it's,
I don't know.
It's,
you
okay.
can play it, whatever. Who cares?
If you can pay money for it, you should be able to write a review on it, in my mind. I
Fair
think
enough.
That reviews are consumer-based, especially
yeah.
at our level.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. We have a it was a huge news for comic book. So we have an article up on all the comic book TV shows, all the trailers and posters and clips that they've put out. We've had a top 7 DC television shows post up. We have a top 7 Batmobile design up. So check those all out. Chuck, if you haven't seen it, which I assume you have listened to this. Because, let's be honest, you know me, and I probably sent you a link or seen it on Facebook or Twitter, but check out the picture, the first picture of Ben Affleck as Batman in the Next Man of Steel movie. Check
if you
out.
Haven't seen that, you probably aren't listening to this podcast.
Like I said, yeah, check out, you know, there's a Fast Troy, there's a Constantine Troy, there's a Gotham Troy. There is, there's a ton of amazing stuff out there right now. It's a great time to be a comic book fan, as always.
Especially DC.
Especially at DC. And Marvel fans, this is pro DC because Marvel's had a ton of great weeks.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, both of them it's a great time for, but DC owned this week. No doubt.
Yes, which is a first in for some time for them, which is a real big part.
It's the first time you've heard DC has owned X in a very long time.
Yeah.
Sadly true, but.
So yes. We will be back next week, and we'll catch you then. So for Dan, Sam, and I, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 171.